Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. What defines God's blessing, us as a nation, is how we bless God for all that He has done for us. And show that in our civic life, in our family life, in our community life. You know, the same thing was true for Israel. If you know your Old Testament, you know that God chose Moses to go down to Egypt, or back to Egypt, where he was raised, and confront Pharaoh, telling him to set God's people free. This weekend, we celebrate our freedom. And we know that there are parts of the world that are not free. And we lament the people who live under the tyrannies that they do live under. But Moses was faithful. He went and he confronted Pharaoh. And he led a ragtag group of slaves out into the wilderness, trusting God to lead and guide. And God did. And eventually, although the people balked at times, as you and I balk at times to what God is calling us to do, eventually, God led them to the promised land, the land that He had prepared for them. But along the way, there were so many problems that Moses was told he could not enter the land. And yet Moses was prepared to enter the land. We know in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy that Moses was already directing the Israelites that when they crossed that Jordan River into the land that God had called them, that they were to do a specific act of remembrance. And that act was, they were to choose one person from each of the 12 tribes, and that person was to pick up a giant stone and carry it from the riverbed on which they crossed to the new land. And to set that stone up, and Moses said, cover it with plaster and write in the plaster all of the laws that God has told you to follow, so that this will be a remembrance to your children and your children's children. Well, Moses told them how to do it, but he couldn't go himself. So his second in command, Joshua, took the reins. And in chapter 4 of the book of Joshua, we see Israel, the new land, not yet a people, but a ragtag group who were crossing the Jordan River to the new land that God had promised. The word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 4. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight. May God bless the reading of His Word. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as I bring this story afresh to our memories and minds, may Your Spirit direct us. May You awaken in us an energy, and may You remind us of whose we are and who we are. Lord, to that end, take the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of our hearts and minds together. For Lord, You are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. When Joshua said those things, he was acting out what Moses had already prescribed. And he said to the people, we do this because when your children ask, what do these stones mean? You will have an answer for them. And so as they took these stones out of the middle of the Jordan, one for each tribe, they were enacting an act of remembrance. And on that day, they exalted the Lord. You know, there was a young preacher once who went to a seminar of a very gifted and well-known evangelist. And as the evangelist began his speech, he went on and told story after story, and the young preacher was pretty impressed. But then he got to this phrase. He said at one point, people, I have spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife. What's he saying? And then he repeated it like he was emphasizing it. Yes, I have spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife. And that woman was my mother. Well, the young preacher thought, that's pretty clever. I've got to use that. Several weeks later, he was asked to speak at a civic event. And he stood up there and he said, I have spent some of the happiest days of my life in the arms of another man's wife. I have spent some of the happiest days of my life in the arms of another man's wife. I have spent some of the happiest days of my life in the arms of another woman, man's wife. But I can't for the life of me think who she was. The problem with us as people, we forget, don't we? We have short memories. We've forgotten the blessings. We get into panic mode over the problems ahead. And that dims the promises that are supporting us, that our lives are built on. Yet Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Your God is permanent, not wavering. And when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan, it tells us in that story that this made them the people of God. It was in this event that a nation was created. And how it happened is they were told to take the Ark of the Covenant. And the whole 2 million people were paraded behind them. And as the Ark of the Covenant stepped into the River Jordan. Now, have any of you been to Israel? Okay? Have you seen the Jordan River? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal river. It's not the Mississippi. But during the flood days, it is completely impassable. And this, we are told, was during the flood season. It was a rush of water overflowing the banks. But as the Ark of the Covenant and the feet of the priests that were chosen to carry it stepped into the water receded. And the Ark of the Covenant was told to go into the middle of the Jordan River and stand there while the rest of Israel passed by. And all of Israel passed over on dry ground. At that point, Joshua said, now go back and take a stone, one for each tribe, and carry it out. But then he did something else. He went back and he picked a stone from each area. 12 stones in all. And he put them right at the feet of where the Ark of the Covenant stood. And then what happened was, as the Israelites had crossed over, he then commanded that the priests come out. And when the last foot of the last priest stepped onto the riverbank, the water collapsed. Interesting. God knew the people needed a sign. They needed the sign that the ark of the Lord, this was the symbol of Yahweh's presence. He didn't say, go over to where the priests are. The ministers don't matter. He didn't say, go over to where the people are. He said, go over to where the ark is, where Yahweh's presence is, where God is. And yet he wanted the people to know that he was with them. And that he, as the Lord God, was all-powerful. You know, we build stone monuments to things that we want to remember. As Phil said, we've done too many memorial services. I've seen too many gravestones. But those are made to remember a person. If you go across the street to Memorial Park, you can see the symbols of remembering the men and women who have died for the freedom that we cherish. They are a memorial. They are a remembrance. But they're a remembrance, it says, of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Do you know what a covenant is? A covenant is simply a committed promise. The promise that God's love will never leave us. That God is with us. The year was 1988. I was already a well-established youth pastor. I had a very active group. There was one young girl who began to come to our youth group. She was shy. She just didn't get out there with the people. But she came up to me one day and said, there's a new show that I love, Bill. And the show was Wonder Years. So I went home and watched it. I fell in love. One of my favorite television shows is Wonder Years. It ran for seven seasons, I believe. And we watched Kevin Arnold grow up through those turbulent teenage years. And this girl was so excited that she and I shared a love of a television program that she taped every one of them for me. My wife wants me to get rid of them because now we've got them on DVDs. But they're sentimental. How many of you have seen The Wonder Years? This is the very first episode we're going to see. It takes you back to a time that I remember well.
But in a way, those really were the Wonder Years for us there in the suburbs. Kind of golden age for kids. Then that's me, coming out of 1958, the summer before junior high school. I don't mind saying I was a pretty fair little athlete.
Come on over here. Kevin gets to you with a fresh kiss.
this is the way most of my conversations with my brother Wayne ended. Apparently, he just deeply regretted the fact that I had been born. I mean, he wanted me to feel the same way.
I'm sorry, Paul. This is a family
matter. One of my best friends, Paul White, Paul was allergic to everything. Wayne used to say he was even allergic to his own snot. He was a really funny guy. Wayne's brother, Brian Cooper, he was 19 and for us, he defined cool. He had this really great 59 El Camino. He didn't run, of course, but he was always out there working on it, sweaty, grease all over his hands. That June, he got drafted and packed off to Vietnam. But his car was still out front. Up on blocks is kind of a reminder of who we ran things on our street.
John? You know, as a youth pastor, this reminded me of the awkwardness of being a junior higher and the turbulent teenage years. But more than that, it affected me on a deeper level. It reminded me of the awkward moments in my life. It reminded me of discovering girls and bullies and the different cliques that school had and teachers with their weird expectations and kids who did weird things. And all this were lessons that I needed to learn because they would affect the decisions I made about how I treated people and how I would respond in the rest of my life. They were stones. Stones for me to remember. You see, that's what God wanted for the people. He wanted them to have something to remember. He wanted to have them, something to remember because He loved them. And He still does. He still loves us. The promise is there in Deuteronomy 7. The Lord did not set His affection on you, Israel, and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. Bill Barnes, you were nothing exceptional, but you were important to God. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers, that He brought you out of the mighty hand and brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. All of this goes back. We're here because Moses went. The stones that represent Israel on the banks of the Jordan are also stones that have been planted in our lives. When we open God's Word, we hear again and again that God loves us. No matter what we look like, no matter the actions we take, no matter when we blow it, God cares about us. You know, as a pastor, I've married probably 350 couples, an exceptional number for most pastors. I was at a church where there were a lot of young people, and it was a very popular church to be married in. So, in that work, many of them I knew and loved, and I've got pictures of couples that grew up in my youth group, but many of them I didn't really know. And you'd go into a situation and you'd think, now what was this person's name? So I always wrote the names down. And I was talking to a pastor one day. He said, you know, I understand why you do that, because, you know, I had a priest that came in to do a wedding and he called the groom by the totally wrong name all the way through the service and nobody corrected him. And I said, well, you know, I've got to confess. There was a time when I didn't write it down. And I said, one day I was officiating at a wedding and I had not known the couple that long or that well. They were referred by some friends that knew me well. And I got to the point and I thought, now, is his name John or James? Right before the service, I'm sitting there going... And I knew I just had to ask him. I didn't want to make a mistake. So I looked at the groom very quietly on the side. And I said, is your name James or John? And the groom had this frozen look in his eyes. And he said back to me, James. To which the bride quickly touched his arm and said, your name is John. Ever since then, I felt okay about it. You know, the thing is that we can look at the things in life that we remember and the things in life that we forget. And we don't hold on to our memories to go into our futures so well. We get to a situation and we freeze like I did as a pastor. And in that situation, instead of trusting God, we worry. But the truth is, if God is the same, and He did find us at one point, it's so important to remember those points. It's so important to remember the times when God has taken you from the dumps and set you up on a hill. It's so important to remember the things that God has taken you through, because what that does is that reduces our fear of the future. Because God doesn't change. If God is good, He will be good tomorrow. Yes, we'll go through some rough things in life. But God goes through them with us, just as He did Israel. He wants us to remember the blessings. Those blessings are our sign of our obedience to God. The things that we have done in the past to acknowledge God. are things that can carry us into the new territory, whatever river's beds we have to cross. And they can be reminders of how if we act the way God has prepared, like the Israelites did, you remember, He said, go and step into this rushing, overflowing riverbank. You imagine what those priests felt. I'm carrying this heavy ark, and I'm going to step into a raging river. And then they step in, and it works. And then they stand in the middle of the riverbank, and Joshua says, everybody else come! And everybody goes, so, you go first, John. But everybody crosses. Anywhere from 1 million to 2 million people cross. And then Joshua goes in and he sets up stones. Why do you think he set up those stones in the riverbed? That's not what God told him to do. Huh? His remembrance. You see, what did I tell you? It's flood season. Joshua knew that at some point the River Jordan would subside. And those big rocks that were underwater at that point would stick out. And he could remember the spot himself. So not only did he have the altar of God to remind him, but he looked back and he could see exactly where the priest stood and say, oh my goodness, that's a stone for me to remember. How do you remind yourself of the good things that God has done? Do you take time to say thanks? Have you ever let yourself just wander back through your life history and go, thank you for the spouse you gave me. Thank you for the occupation that you've called me to. Thank you for the friends that have surrounded me. Thank you for the children that have blessed me. Thank you for the life and the giggles and the laughter that lighten me. What is it for you? Had they not done what they did, they would still be on the other side of the River Jordan. You have to take action. But once you do, you have to remember that action, because it will propel you forward into the future. You know, John Calvin made an interesting point. I emphasized that as the last foot stepped out of the waters roared back into their position. John Calvin, the famous reformer, said, if it had not come back as suddenly as it did, then many would have imagined that the cause of the change was just fortuitous. It was an odd act of nature. But God never wanted them to remember it that way. He wanted them to remember it as His hand. His hand guiding them. You know, the Passover was the event that took them out of the land. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate a memory. The memory of God passing over all the houses that had a blood sacrifice over their lentil, saving the firstborn, which allowed Pharaoh in his woeful pain to say, okay, get out of here. If God will take our children, we need you guys to go. And Israel remembered it a little differently than Egypt did. They remembered it as God's hand providing a way out. And when we come to this table, we don't come with that remembrance. But we come with the remembrance that the Lord transitioned it. Because Jesus said, this is my blood and my body. It is offered for you. When you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. And you are the one that God was talking about when He said it wasn't because you looked so great, or you were so smart, or you acted so well, or you were such a good little boy. It's because I love you. And that love will never leave. God did a miracle. God continues to do miracles. We discount them. But it's amazing that friendships are mended when there is some rift. It's amazing that love can continue to be shared between people when they have arguments and get in trouble with one another. But what do you do to remember? Do you tell others about God's goodness? Do you do that? Because that's what Wonder Years does for me. It reminds me of how much God rescued me from the awkwardness. How God took me out of those days and gave me a promise that set me on the right side of the riverbank. So I'm going to challenge you. Go into your garden, or take a hike, or go to the beach and find a little stone and put it in a place this summer and just think, what is that stone remind you of? What are the memories? Because what God was telling them was when your children ask you, why are you so happy? Why are you okay in these crises? Why, when you get diagnosed with cancer, can you hold your head up still and go through it? Why? Because God has been faithful all my life and I have stones to prove it. And this is one. Let's pray. Lord God, I would ask that you would continue to bring stones into our lives that remind us, that are memories, so that we can step forward into the future with confidence. And for those whose memories are horrible, God, I would pray for good stones. I would pray for them to find and discover new stones of your presence and your goodness, so that we all could sense the wonder of the years you've given us. Amen.